Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Mary welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Very accustomed to this passage from the book of the prophet Jonah on the second Tuesday of Lent. 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. It is the great proclamation of the need for repentance. And we see that this ancient pagan necropolis, from the king to the pets, repented in sackcloth and ashes. Jonah was so afraid to preach the message of repentance in this pagan town because they thought they would seek his death. And as soon as he started, he didn't even have to get to 39 more days and Nineveh would be destroyed. The word carried throughout the city and people began to repent immediately, and that word of repentance got to the king who made his proclamation. Jesus, after he had proclaimed the gospel and worked so many miracles, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, said, "But there is a greater sin than Jonah here." When Jesus speaks, he wants to see us turn our mind around to experience the metanoia that we see in the Nineveh plain. And in today's gospel, he gives a call to conversion to one of his most beloved. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He has fixed his face on Jerusalem and what was going to happen there. But he stops in at the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Martha's there doing so many of the tasks of preparing a meal. It was much harder at this time than it is today. There's no refrigerator. There was no real stove to speak of. Many of the utensils were primitive. Would have required an awful lot of work. She was doing it all. Typically, because of St. Augustine and St. Gregory the Great, in this gospel we see the paradigmatic contrast between the active and contemplative life. But unfortunately, that's gotten exaggerated over the course of time. When Jesus gives Martha a fraternal correction, when she asks him to give Mary a correction, Jesus' correction teaches us so much. What's it essentially about? "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things, but only one thing is necessary. And Mary's chosen that one thing. She's chosen that better part. You've chosen a lot of good parts, but she has chosen that one better part, that one necessary thing." Martha's big problem, she was trying to love the Lord. We saw even in yesterday's gospel of the parable of the Good Samaritan that it's not enough to just walk by on the other side saying, "I'd prefer to sit at Jesus' feet and do nothing." To call us to love God with all we have and to love our neighbor as God loves our neighbor is to call us to action. The problem for Martha is she was being drawn and quartered in her soul by her own free joys. She saw so many different things she needed to do, whereas Jesus wanted to bring her back to evangelical simplicity. Only one thing is necessary, and choose it. What is that one thing? That one thing is God. First, to allow God to act. Jesus had come to Bethany not to be fed but to feed, not to be served but to serve. It's only Mary who got that lesson, to choose the better part of allowing God to do his thing in us. But then second, no matter how many things we have to do it with the unity of life, to do it united with the Lord, to do it for him, with him, through him, in him, so that we're not going to have our soul rent asunder by all of these good things that have to get done. But we recognize it's really only one thing necessary. And in all of these things, we choose that better one and not just part. This is a message, sisters, that we have to hear and hear and hear and hear and hear, because it's one that, though we try to live it, often we fail. We make a transition. So many times we've got so many things to do which are new. We've got various goals that we're trying to achieve at various levels, including personal goals, that we don't know how all the pieces fit together. We begin to be torn. We begin to be frustrated at how much we don't do. So important for us to grasp that there's really only one thing we need to do, and to not feel guilty about not doing the other stuff if we are doing this one thing. And that's to keep this encounter with the Lord going throughout all our activity. It's not just about prioritization, though prioritization is always important. And the people whose lives are a mess are often a mess because they don't know how properly to prioritize. And everything becomes just as important as everything else. It's more than just prioritization, though. It's about what's called unity of life, that no matter how many things we're doing, we're seeking to do it with a contemplative union with the Lord, allowing him to act through us at that very moment, to serve us, to feed us, to give us what we need. And we need a lot of practice in doing this. In this month of October, as we ponder the month of the Holy Rosary, especially in this week as we prepare for the centenary of Mary's last apparition in Fatima, which she identified herself as the Lady of the Rosary, and reiterated what she had said the previous 5 months about the importance of praying the Rosary daily, we can just focus on how we pray the Rosary. Do we pray it as one more task in a plan of life, one more box to check? Or do we see in the Rosary that we have the chance to enter into Mary's contemplative school, like Mary of Bethany? And as we do, it's not withdrawing us from all other activity, but it's spurring us onto that activity. As St. John Paul II wrote about 15 years ago, his beautiful exhortation on the Rosary, how can we contemplate the mystery of the Nativity without being spurred for a much greater love for all women and their children as they're expecting and as they're giving birth? How can we ponder the mystery of the Visitation without a fervent desire to bring God to others? How can we ponder the sorrowful mysteries without a far greater compassion for those who are going through their own agonies? How can we ponder the resurrection without recognizing that the world needs this good news, and to go out with this proclamation that never grows tired, that Jesus has risen, he is alive, and he walks with us, seeking to lead us to that relationship of resurrection. The more we ponder the mysteries of the Rosary correctly with Mary, the more we become true contemplatives in action. As we come forward today, the greater than Jonah preaches to us, just as he did in the house of Bethany, this message of conversion. Only one thing is necessary. As that pearl of great price leaves everything else for our sake this morning, to come and abide in us, let us ask for the grace to sit at his feet within in all we do today. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.